Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the man's shit. Let's go hook him up!
I want to drag you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, Edward. How are you this evening?
I'm doing very well. And we also have our other co-host on the line, Katrera. What's going on, Katrera?
Not much. I'm doing fine.
Cool, cool. Well, we're back after a week off, and we have a couple things to talk about. We will be talking about what I thought was an actually pretty little awesome little wrestling show last night, and that was the WWE's NXT TakeOver. And we also have a pay-per-view apparently this Sunday, and I think the minor league is going to make the big league look like the minor league when it comes to wrestling shows this week.
Very true. Very true.
So before we start running down the matches, like I said, I thought the show was awesome. And it's really weird seeing, because when you're not watching WWE and you watch any other kind of wrestling, whether it's ROH, TNA, fucking whatever the fuck it is, it's usually some shitty-ass production. And now you have a, there are WWE wrestlers on the show, of course, but as far as like a different show that actually has awesome production, it's actually kind of nice to watch. And, you know, it's too bad ROH can't do that or even TNA. But I thought that the production level for NXT is just phenomenal. And it really makes it look more above ROH and TNA in some ways.
Yeah, that's very true. I had some problems. I went into it late, and I tried to start from the beginning, and had a problem on one of my devices. So I switched to another one, and it was perfectly fine. So apparently Roku won over Apple TV last night, and looked great. The stream was great. It never failed me once I got it going. A couple of little blips on the audio here and there, but other than that, it worked like a champ.
I watched it at 7 o'clock this morning. Didn't have any problems.
No. Of course you didn't. That's awesome.
I actually just watched the main event fucking 10 minutes ago.
Huh.
I didn't get to watch it live. I have... during playoff time, when the Spurs are playing, I have to shut myself off from social media and everything and concentrate and will my team win. So I was busy watching the Spurs game yesterday, which they did win, by the way. So I missed it. I had to go to work. So I watched – I came home. I watched the opening matches this morning and then took a nap, and then I watched the women's match and Tyler Breeze match, and then I just, like I said, I just finished off the main event earlier. So, yeah, I didn't get to see it live, but it was still an awesome show.
I watched some of the pre-show. It was pretty good. They actually had people on there worth the shit that I cared about what they said, like Paul Heyman. So.
I was told that I need to go back and watch the wrap-up show as well. I heard that was really tremendous.
Yeah.
Somebody tweeted me.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen either one, so I need to check them out. But I heard Tyson was kind of being a little dick in the post show, and that the pre show was just they were like supposedly they weren't scripted or something.
Hmm. Yeah, I bet.
I know they had like Natty and Charlotte break character at the like in the post show and stuff like that. So.
Well, they kind of broke character after the match, so I mean. You know, they before I heal, they really let Charlotte enjoy the moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, how about we run down this show, and I'll read straight from my notes. I had to take notes anyway, so that works out. And I'll read my notes, and then I'll let you guys go. How about that?
Okay.
Do what you want.
Did you have another
idea?
No. Okay.
So, Matt, I took notes for that one ECW show we never reviewed. I'm pissed off about it.
We can do that, too. All right. So, NXT TakeOver. This happened, of course, last night. We had, I just caught about 5 minutes of the pre-show. And it showed Adam Rose's party bus coming up to the building, pulled into the parking lot. People were very excited to see Adam Rose. And so the party spilled out of the bus and up the walkway. The marks were going crazy. At one point, a guy was trying to get a selfie of him and Adam Rose in the background. Adam Rose saw this and ran up to the fan and put his arm around him, and they mugged for his own selfie. I thought that was pretty cool. So the party started in the parking lot. Camacho was out. The crowd was chanting "Party Pooper" at Mr. Camacho.
Wait, they were chanting what?
They were chanting "Party Pooper" at Camacho.
Oh, I thought you said something else there for a second. I can kind of know.
There was an awesome headlock spot where. Adam Rose was going for a headlock, but Camacho picked him up for a slam. And so instead, Adam Rose just jumped into his arms, and Camacho was sitting there holding him like a child.
And like a damsel in distress, a hero just rescued her. That was awesome.
With that hair, he kind of looked like a damsel in distress at times.
I was dying. Camacho took most of the match, but Rose basically just fired up and hit a party foul for the win, which is a headlock DDT, much like Dean Ambrose's, but a little bit modified, if you will. Good match.
Yeah. Before I get to Adam Rose, I want to make a couple of comments about Camacho. Okay, that's apparently, like, you know, when he came to TV a while back, he was like Juncio's, like, you know, buddy. They were like gang members from East L.A., kind of like a cholo gimmick. And
right.
It's not really working because, I'm sorry, but cholos aren't going to have brand-new khakis on and brand-new tennis shoes. He looked a little too clean to be a cholo. I was not believing it. And I don't know who said it on the show the other night, but they referred to Camacho as the son of Mean. And they need to repackage him. His gimmick needs to be, his name needs to be just Son of Mean.
Or Son of Haku.
And he needs to learn how to poke somebody's eye out with his big toe. But Adam Rose, I like Adam Rose. I don't think Adam Rose will ever be a main eventer, but, you know, you don't need everyone to be main eventers. It's always good to have, a fun comedy guy. And I like the entrance and the gimmick and all that is awesome. And it's just a shame that wrestling fans are so stupid, because, you know, they could actually make the show awesome if they would actually get into his intro more than they are, like the way the European fans are. I think the hardcore, the people who go to wrestling in the UK, to me, are more hardcore, and they're more they're going to be on the internet and be more smart marks than the casual American fans, because there are just a lot of casual fans that might catch Raw once or twice a week, and you know what I mean, don't really keep up, so they don't know what's going on. But it'd be better if the crowd got into them like they did here at NXT.
Well, I think the crowd would get into it, except on Raw, on the big stage. This is a stupid fucking gimmick. I hate to break it to everybody. It's like pocketbook thing. This is the stupidest gimmick I've seen in a long time.
I don't mind the gimmick so much, but it works in a small crowd.
It's an ECW
gimmick.
It works in ECW. Don't work on the big shows. Like Public Enemy.
That's fair, actually. I'm hoping you're wrong. Maybe
it worked in England.
That's true. Maybe they need to ramp up. Maybe they need to ramp up to
Fandango. We get a show with the English thing.
Maybe they need to actually ramp up the gimmick a little bit. Maybe they need to have confetti falling. Maybe they need
something like
that. They need to bring the bus into the arenas and everybody get out of the bus. It looks stupid coming from the locker room.
That's
true. Pull the bus back there by the stage and they all get out there. That's fine.
That's not a bad idea.
And this doesn't look like any kind of party I'd want to end in the first place. You got a guy in a hamburger suit, a bunny. And fucking some people are playing Hungry Hungry Hippos. God knows what else is in this entourage. Nobody's drinking. Nobody's snorting coke or anything. This is a shitty party.
How do you know?
Fuck on lollipops and shit like that. Fuck that.
Craig would be like the perfect lemon.
I would be the perfect what?
Lemon. You'd be the perfect guy in the
lemon. Oh, yeah. I bet the lemon just laid all the time at that party. Ooh. Him and the bunny and the cheeseburger and the chicken meat nuggets and all those other people that are out there.
And maybe maybe Mike Awesome could powerbomb Shaggy Two-Dope on top of the bus and save his life.
He could slide off head first. But this is one of those, this is a small crowd gimmick thing. But it's gonna
be onto something.
There's a lot of time, you know, a lot of that stuff, you know, I brought up ECW, a lot of that stuff worked in ECW because it was that crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you get the WCW with the Public Enemy. Nobody.
Yeah. So next
up. Like, it's the same thing, like I mentioned, you know, the ECW fans, they were smarter fans. They were more, the internet wasn't as big as it is now, but they were reading the dirt sheets, they were tape traders. They were more into it to where the casual fans. They don't know exactly what to do, so that's what really hurts it as far as the WWE, because there's so many people in that stadium who don't know what's going on. But if everyone did, like in England, it would be awesome. But, you know, you're right about that.
Maybe if, to use Couture's point, maybe if they pulled the bus up by the stage, the party emptied out into the rampway, and they also filled the aisles in front of the camera with quote-unquote partygoers, maybe people would see that and it would catch on if they actually had some of them in the crowd in the aisleways.
Yeah.
Not a bad idea.
Don't have anybody dressed up like food.
Right. Just like hot girls and
don't be a lemon, be a rosebud. He's got a lemon with him. That don't make no fucking sense.
He's the party pooper. I don't know. Okay,
oh,
we're moving
at the party then.
Don't be a Craig. Be an Ed Bud Craig.
Why would you have him at your party then? This is me. I sound like Brian Alvarez trying to review Raw or something like that. Got to ask you stupid questions.
Or bitching about the fucking mundane things that don't mean a goddamn thing and going on for like 20 minutes about it.
Where do the children come from? Are they adopted? Are they their parents there? Or whatever.
So anyway, the Ascension wrestled Kalisto and El Locale. Of course, El Locale is Ricardo Rodriguez under a hood.
Wasn't
El Locale.
No,
El Locale. Seriously.
Hmm.
Seriously?
Yeah, and I didn't know that's who that was.
Kalisto is the former Samurai del Sol from Dragon Gate fame.
Which means like maybe 2% of the audience knows who he is.
That's true.
Like
so
Ultimo
right
off the Dragons. Ultimo Dragons. They kind of had that Ultimo Dragon mask. If they weren't as good.
The luchadors went for a dive early, but were immediately given a forearm shiver for their trouble. The Ascension basically mauled Kalisto forever. There was a cool spot where Kalisto was on the top rope, and he jumped off with a head scissors. Made the hot tag to El Locale. El Locale was a house of fire, but unfortunately, they cut him off, and they hit the Fall of Man for the pin. This was short.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, the thing I get from this match that pops in my head is, okay, Ricardo, it's like I say, it's Ricardo under this lucha outfit. So he's wearing a full bodysuit and a mask. And usually when you wear full bodysuits, it's usually to hide your physique.
Yes.
This time, what this reminds me of is, you remember when Goldust first showed up in the Goldust costume, and he was a little chunky, and it was a very tight-fitting costume, and he looked kind of chunky and fat? Well, that's exactly what Ricardo looks like, was his belly in this costume. And he's okay. Kalisto, he had a few nice little moves. He didn't really get to, like, really shine or look spectacular, but he did have a couple cool little things. He does do a shitty version of Leva Bates' gimmick where she gets the crowd to chant Lucha, and that's a gimmick infringement, and he should stop doing that right away. And the Ascension, they're okay for NXT and maybe even ROH and TNA, but they're like, they're big, bad bullies, and they're not going to be anywhere close to even the 50% as far as the size in the WWE, especially, and what really sucks is the better one is the smaller one, so he's really not going to be able to work like that with a lot of, you know, he can't work like that with fucking, you know, a lot of, like, you know, fucking Big E and fucking Eric Rowan and all these giants, the Big Show, I mean, you know, they're, and then they're not, they really don't even really know how to work. They just basically, I thought this might be more of a competitive match, and maybe the Usos gave them a more competitive match, but their matches are squashes, and that's not going to pay off when they have to go to WWE, and then they got to sell. And you know what I mean? Because, you know, they can't, you know, they're not going to let them come out and kill everybody, so they're going to have to sell, and it's going to expose them, and it's just, I just can't see that gimmick working in the WWE as far as main event. You know, they could just be a team that is there to, like, Ryback and Axel, basically, level. You know what I mean?
Is that your comment on the match, Couture?
Well, the way much to the match. I like the spot with the double forearms, and they were doing the dive outside the ring. Other than that, wasn't much to this match. Where are they from? What country are they from?
You got me.
We don't have any Americans in NXT. It's that Sami Zayn, right? Everybody's from someplace else.
Well, Sami Zayn's actually from Canada, but, you know.
Well, you know what I mean. He don't count.
Yeah.
Everybody's from Ireland or England or Australia.
It seems like it, yes. I'm not sure where these guys are from, to be honest with you. I just started watching this, so.
Yes, this was a fine match. It was okay. It was a really short showcase match.
Absolutely. Okay, well, then we had a Tyler Breeze highlight package. I thought it was put together very well for viewers, much like myself, who have only seen him wrestle a couple of times. We then had the match.
And
Tyler
at this point, you need to apologize for all the disparaging things you had to say about his work rate on the Brian Devaney show the other week.
I didn't say anything bad about Tyler Breeze.
I'm pretty sure you did. You and the little midget.
No.
Certainly little midget.
I was complaining about the New York feller. I had nothing to say bad about Tyler Breeze. He was fine. Anyway, Tyler Breeze versus Sami Zayn. This was for the number one contendership for the NXT title. There was a good mat wrestling early. Breeze got the heat. Sami Zayn was on the top rope, and Breeze took his leg and swung it out, and Sami crashed on the floor. Zayn hit a over-the-top a slingshot moonsault to the floor. It was a cool implant DDT by Breeze, but Sami Zayn answered back with an exploder into the corner. Breeze hit a super kick for a two count. Breeze was immediately dropped with a modified Falcon Arrow. Modified means the move was screwed up. Sami
hit a Falcon Arrow.
Scott Steiner used to do it. It's like up for a suplex and then drops him down into a power bomb almost.
Like a tiger bomb?
Yeah.
Okay.
Except it's from the suplex position. Anyway.
Yeah. No, it's more of a power bomb than a suplex. It starts off as a suplex and turns into a power bomb. An exploder, isn't that just a fucking suplex where you're dropping a guy on his head?
Exploder is catch arm over the head. Falcon Arrow is suplex position. You turn the guy around and then basically a Michinoku driver after that. Anyway, Sami then hit a huge flip dive on Breeze, and Breeze smacked his head on the back of his head on the ramp. Zayn went for the Yakuza kick. Breeze got his arm up, and in the process, Zayn's crotchal region nailed Tyler Breeze's elbow. Zayn was selling, and Breeze hit the beauty shot for the pin. Really good match. I loved the storytelling in this match. It was just awesome.
What? Okay, I understand the cussing, but you can't even say balls.
What does that matter?
I don't need to hear. I can go all my life without hearing Craig say balls referring to somebody's testicles.
Oh, speaking of, this reminds me. Yeah, okay, Craig, you finally do it. You blew your gimmick. You cussed on the Brian Devaney show. You did not add cat to the word pussy the other day. You strictly said pussy, and that's cussing.
Yes, I did.
Okay. Well, that's kind of a...
You say so.
Kind of a... That's kind of in and out. That's a curse word and can not be a curse word, so...
But he didn't add anything to it, so it was... I took it as Craig cussing, and it really blew my mind. I was very disappointed in you, Craig.
I'm excited. I'm upset you did not curse.
Actually, I had somebody upset that I did not, so what are you going to do? But anyway, when I was telling the people on the show what Benoit said, I was actually referring to what he said, so I think I can get a pass on that. So I was paraphrasing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, when he talked about the quality Sabu?
Yeah.
Oh, was that the one with Sabu Dosho, the big match or something? He cut the promo. Oh, and that was supposed to be the three-way dance with the tag with Benoit Malenko, Public Enemy, and Taz and Sabu, and Rick Steiner took his place. I remember that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's a direct quote, so that's okay.
Thank you.
Well, let's get to the match. I thought the match was really, really good. I think it's impossible for Sami Zayn to have a bad match. I mean, the dude is just an incredible babyface. And I thought Tyler Breeze looked really, really good. He hung with him the whole way. I'm not sure who screwed up on that thing, but it was one of those kind of screw-ups where they fought so hard to finish and do the spot that it actually kind of came off okay, even though they kind of fucked up. It was very forgivable.
I couldn't tell.
Tyler Breeze has one of the best ring outfits I've ever seen with the furry boots, or I don't even know how to describe his furry boots. And then he took one of the things off his boots, basically, and uses it as a belt because it's the exact same thing. And he really looks the part for his gimmick. I mean, it's a perfect gimmick for him because he does look like a little smug little bastard who would like to take a thousand pictures of himself. And I can see him taking selfies all the time. Lance must teach a class on selfie taking or something. And he's only been in business for a short time. He already throws a better super kick than Lance Storm because I did not see him slap his thigh. And every time Lance throws that damn super kick, that's the only thing I see is him slapping his thigh. And really great ending. I mean, that was a real smart ending, you know what I mean? It was like, in a way, Sami Zayn kind of beat himself. But Tyler Breeze, you know, he took advantage of it, like, you know, right away. I mean, he crotched him. And then he hit his leg whip, which you would think that's not much of a finisher, but goddamn, the way Sami Zayn fucking did like a flip fucking bump where like the you know, like Fatu used to do before he got too fat. But I thought it was a great match. I thought it might end up being match of the night. And honestly, it's kind of a toss up between the three.
It was
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought it was the best men's match of the night. I thought when they did the little preview package on Tyler Breeze, I was ready to hate this whole fucking gimmick. I just thought it was so stupid in that package. But then when he got in the ring, that was such a good super kick. Shawn Michaels probably caught him so good, you know, give him some pointers or something like that. And the spot they were going for, I can't even describe it. I'd have to watch it again. You'd have to watch it to understand what they did. But it didn't look like a botch to me. It looked like they saved it in the end. I couldn't even tell if something was screwed up. I didn't know what was going on. It was so weird looking. And
the reason I said it was screwed up is because something didn't look right. I don't know exactly what they were going for, but that's why I called it a modified Falcon Arrow. Because I just didn't know what to call the thing.
It looked like they were going for something and it had to improvise by rolling, like, it kind of got him in the guillotine and they kind of rolled through from there. And, maybe if I had seen these people, you know, these guys work before and know the moves, I could tell that it didn't end up the way it was supposed to, but, I'd never seen them before, so.
Well, what I think happened was the roll through into the guillotine was a little off. Because they kind of separated and then they went right back to it right away. So it was just it was supposed to be a little smoother. But like I said, I thought they saved it and it still looked good. It was still an awesome move. I mean, he fucking powerbombed the shit out of him off of that thing. And
was Willie Regal the only person to point out that the nutshell would not, he didn't do it on purpose? Everybody else was acting like he kicked him in the balls or something.
No, he was covering up, and it was just unfortunately timed. And
they're stealing the match when they, you know, something happens, and he stole the win because he just happened get enough. Even Michael Cole does that shit. When somebody does a small packet, he says he's trying to steal the win. He's giving him a wrestling move, you idiot.
And then the referee actually did a great job on the finish because, you know what I mean, he's kind of like, wait a minute, that was a low blow. And he's like, no, I just threw my hands up. And he's like, okay, you're right. And then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the ref sold it. So it really
fits as a heel, but, it fits the heel persona. But you can't see it as like a legal win. It's not really that messed up, not that screwed.
Anyway, that was a fine match. It was, I think it was probably the best match of the night. So then...
Oh, no, we'll get to that.
Then we had Devin introducing Lana. And Lana strutted out to the ramp area and called out Rusev.
They walked down to the ring together. A fan in the crowd held up a sign, and it said, "Hail Hydra," and I laughed. Lana told the fans to stand up and honor Rusev. Rusev cut a promo in Bulgarian, and then Mojo Rawley.
Well, I had something that stood up to honor Lana.
Okay,
oh,
that's
God.
Mojo Rawley came out onto the ramp, I'm trying to move on, with an American flag. Again, the second person this last week that came out with an American flag that I've never seen come up with an American flag. He said the USA not only was hyped, they stayed hype. And he sprinted down to the ring, and he jumped up on the apron and said he was going to shove this flag up Rusev's Putin. Direct quote.
Oh, that's why they're bringing up Vladimir Putin so much. They can do these punchlines.
I guess so. Mojo attacked.
I laughed.
Mojo attacked. Rusev clubbered him and threw him down, put him in the camel clutch, humbled him, and then Lana called him off. USA, USA, USA.
This is where Rusev character, he's supposed to be Russian or Bulgarian, or what the fucking deal with this guy? Or just
he was
thing,
Bulgarian, but they dropped the Bulgarian part.
Oh, every week it seems
and
like somebody's talking about being Russian or someone about being Bulgarian.
The Bulgarian something was his Brute. Nickname.
Bulgarian Brute. And he lost that when he lost his last name, I guess, or first name. I don't know.
Yeah. Russia ain't never been saying since Gorbachev left office.
We then had Paige coming out. She thanked the fans.
Well, hold on. Let's
just
talk about the match. You're like, you know, you're cutting us off.
Well, there wasn't much to it.
Well, we can still talk about it because basically, apparently, either two things happened. Either Mojo Rawley pissed somebody off or he's being repackaged because they've always kind of pushed him a little bit. You know, he got a little spotlight on the last special beating CJ Parker. And for the most part, he wins most of his matches on the NXT show, but they made him look like the biggest joke here. I mean, he basically got in the ring, got super kicked, got just destroyed in seconds, and then got destroyed a second time on the ramp. And so something's up.
He was the NXT version of 3MB on the show.
Yeah. But I got to say that, you know, for the longest time, Stacy Kleber was known to have, like, the greatest legs in the history of pro wrestling. I think that title has now been taken away from her and is now belongs to Lana because those legs are freaking phenomenal. And I love her businesswoman, whatever outfit thing that she wears. I think that is just fucking 5 stars. And I'm trying to convince someone to buy an outfit like that to take to Vegas this trip.
I see. She reminds me of Brigitte Nielsen from Rocky IV.
Yes.
But hotter.
But hotter. Way hotter.
Yeah. And she never got with Flavor Flav.
Ooh. That's what makes her hotter.
There wasn't anything to this match. Move on.
Thank you. And so, like I said, we had Paige coming out, and she thanked all the fans and said she would not be where she is without all of them. This led to...
She threw her spot, too.
That's true. This led to Charlotte coming out with the one and only Nature Boy Ric Flair and Natalya coming out with...
I got to put this in there because it's so goddamn noticeable, but Ric Flair in high definition do not get along.
That's very true. And by the way, neither does Brett. Brett has aged.
Yeah, but Flair, his hair, I mean, it's like basically it's to the point where he should just shave it off the way it looked. I mean, it was so thin. I mean, it was sad. I mean, Ric Flair had some of the greatest hair in the history of pro wrestling. I mean, go back to the 80s with that fucking parted down the middle, fucking feathered, long. I mean, just it was beautiful hair, and it was very sad and hard to even look at on this special.
I blame Jim Herb and that Black Scorpion bullshit because Megan cut his hair. He was never.
I know, I was so pissed off. And then he had a gay haircut at that. You know, it was kind of just, oh, man, that was horrible.
He looked stupid with that little short haircut. Gosh.
Yeah.
I took away a star from each of his matches from that. Oh,
just for the haircut.
In the 90s. Yes, just for the haircut. And Brett, he should just color it. He should just dye his hair and he'll look fine. So.
That's true. So anyway, usually when the women's matches start, it's a good time for a bathroom break. This was a great match. They started off with some great chain wrestling. There was even a couple of MMA spots worked into this. Ric Flair on the outside was the star. Even Brett looked annoyed with him at times.
He probably was.
And other times he was trying not to laugh.
He was strutting around, and he was wooing, and it was awesome. Charlotte hit a backpack stunner for the heat. At one point, Charlotte's extensions were falling out. There's a photo on Twitter of the fan that took a picture of a blonde hair just laying on the floor, and I thought that was the funniest thing. Natalie got pulled out of the ring, and basically a slingshot type maneuver, and she splatted on the floor. Charlotte missed a moonsault. Natty quickly slapped on her sharpshooter, but it was reversed into the figure four by Charlotte. They ended up rolling outside. Natty's knees got kicked into the steps. Sharpshooter by Charlotte. Natty gets out. Charlotte hits the death to the queen, which is her finishing maneuver, for the pin. And this match was probably the best women's match I have seen easily all year and probably most of last year. Great storytelling.
I think it's best I've seen in like 10 years. And Lita or Victoria and Mickie James were all, you know, when they had all those in that division. I think it's probably the best match I've seen in like a decade.
Yeah, it was a great, great match. I was super, super surprised how great it was. Natty is a ring general.
The only thing I'll say is that when they did the figure four spot, when they were doing the reversals, it looked like they forgot it was supposed to sell the reversals.
It was like Natty had it on, but she was selling because that's what she was supposed to do, not because what it looks like.
It's like when they reversed it, the person that it was applied to that had reversed it was being hurt, and the other person like still had, you know, the advantage. I mean, it was weird at the watch. It's just a little thing, but.
Well, yeah, the announcer didn't help because there was one where like they kind of like reversed it, but then they rolled back over, and then he was acting, oh, she reversed it, even though that she still had it. She still had it on, so that was kind of weird.
Yeah, and
this match, as far as WWE, this is the best match since that fucking Raw Lita Trish. I'd probably say Lita Trish is maybe a little better, but since then, this is the best one since. I thought this was, you know, it was real close, but I thought this was actually the best match on this show. And they gave him, like, 20 minutes to work with. And what really surprised me with Charlotte, and yes, you know, Natty did kind of carry the match and was a ring general, but besides being able to do all the moves she does, Charlotte is also very good at her facials and her and Natty's, like, communication. And, you know, when they were slapping each other while they were in the figure fours or slapping each other all the time, she's very good at showing you her attitude and when she's angry and just showing her facial expressions and her body language. And that's amazing for her experience, even more so than what she can do in the ring, which she can do a lot. She actually, I've heard people complain about her trying to do the Ric Flair corner spot, but I thought she did it awesome here. She went over that real perfectly, basically, and then got cut off, of course. And I'm sure because, and it's a good thing she is Ric Flair's daughter because people are going to think I'm being mean here, but she's not the prettiest girl on the roster. I mean, she's a very, very pretty girl. But there was one like on the video package where there's like just kind of talking to her, and she just looks very, very average. And you know, luckily being Richard's
right.
daughter, they can kind of like hide that, you know what I mean, and make her to be important, even if she's not the prettiest one, which is very good. And I would keep her in NXT for a little while longer. I think she could get better, but. I think she's got potential to become one of the biggest women stars in the WWF in a long, long time.
And I think Dave made the comment in the update. He said, this match was on Raw. It got 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Which probably would have. I mean, a lot of the stuff you see on this show, you're not going to see a lot of it when they come up, like when they bring them up. I mean, hell, Tyler Breeze, he was so much like Fandango. They'll probably make them brothers in a brother tag team or something like that. Lord knows. I love the spot where they were rolling the figure four and they ended up outside the ring, kind of like the old with the ring post figure four, you know, that Brett used to do, and I thought that was a pretty cool spot. But yeah, this was I can't remember the last time I saw a woman's match longer than this, at least in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever, especially in the last 10 years, seen one go like 19 minutes or whatever it's going. But,
right.
Yeah, this was I think just because the who was in there, the you know, the dads being it or the relatives being at ringside, this was my favorite match of the night. I thought it was the best match of the night. So.
Yeah, it was very good. Very good. Okay. So, here comes the main event. Tyson Kidd versus Adrian Neville for the NXT Championship. Once again, started off slow, chain wrestling early. Tyson took a cheap shot to get the heat. Tyson did a flip dive. This move always, it's a suicide dive, but then there's a flip at the end. And he does it, Homicide does it. I'm always very impressed because Homicide actually starts to flip inside the ring, and that's just timing I don't understand because, you know, I'm not coordinated enough to do something like that. At a double cross body, they both crashed into each other. Neville came up and got the offense on Tyson. Tyson cut him off with a dive. Neville moonsaults off the top rope. After a powerbomb attempt by Tyson, and then Neville hit a huge powerbomb on Tyson right after that. Neville was going for a springboard, but Tyson leaped up and ran, and as he was on the ropes, Tyson jumped up on the second rope and hit a Russian leg sweep from the second rope. It looked awesome. Neville got tangled up in the ropes. Kid hit a leg drop from the top onto the ropes, I just lost his name.
Adrian Tyson?
No. Anyway, I'll come back to it. Tyson ascended the top rope. Neville quickly leaped to the top rope. I thought for sure he was just going to suplex him, but no, he hit a super Frankensteiner off the top rope. They bumped so far on the other side of the ring that Neville just ran to the other side of the ring and hit the red arrow for the pin. Another really good match and ended a really good show.
Yeah, it did start off kind of slow like that. For a while, I was actually having it stir on as far as a quality of the top three matches. And then it passed up to me. It passed up Sami Zayn and towards the end because it really got good. And it was building so good, I thought it was actually going to pass the women's match, but I still going to give it to the woman as far as being the best match. But this was a great match. Tyson was being, you know, started to show his shine as a heel turn and being a cocky little shit. And it was really great. Neville's really good. I don't know how successful he'll be in the WWE just because he is pretty small. He's so small that one fan had a sign saying that he should be cast in the next Hobbit movie. And he does kind of look like one of the dwarves, you know, as far as facially and hair and everything. But, yeah, it was a great match. It's like, I thought Regal was really good. I thought the guy in the middle was just, he was kind of there. Saxton at times was kind of entertaining, and at times it's like, okay. And, but I thought Regal made it work overall. But yeah, it was a great, main event. And, you know, hopefully they'll have some more matches on NXT, and then hopefully guys like Tyson, and hopefully they'll just remember that Evan's still getting paid and maybe send him to NXT to do a few matches instead of just going to the gym and working out. And,
great point.
You know, hopefully, you know, guys who don't get a chance on Raw can come down here and work with these younger guys and, you know, get to half matches and, you know, it'll be a fun show.
I feel bad this match had to, you know, I thought the, you know, having to come out to the Sami Zayn, Tyler Breeze, and Charlotte in the Taya match, it's kind of hard to live up to what the previous two matches I thought, but they did an okay job. I didn't think it was as good as the previous two matches, but it was a very good match. They did a great spot where, I think it was Tyson going for, Adrian Neville was like standing on the middle rope, and Tyson looked like he was gonna go for that sunset flip into the power bomb. But when he went for it, Neville just did like a big backflip. I've never seen that spot before. I thought it was pretty awesome. But this was a great match. And who was that? Who was Neville? Who was which of the small marquee roses that everybody talked about, and then they changed his name? Pac. Well, that's a stupid name anyway. But they changed it. Like, what is it? He stole half of Sean Waltman's name. It sounds stupid. So.
But like I say, overall, it was a fun show. It was great because it filled. You know what I mean? The first couple matches were showcase matches, and then the three main matches were given. Like, I think all three of them seemed like they went over 20 minutes, but pretty close to it. I do have to ask Craig one question that was actually asked to me on Twitter, but I'm going to go ahead and ask Craig the question.
Sure.
Wasn't Becky great?
She's a very attractive lady.
Who's that?
Hanging on.
Who?
Becky. She was one of the girls in Adam Rose's party. Very attractive young lass.
Everybody's dressed up at King's Hill. Nobody's attractive or not.
Yeah. Apparently.
I do have one question for you. Maybe I know you don't really watch NXT that much. We probably watch it about the same. But the ring announcer, is that Cody's wife?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
He's pretty hot.
Yeah, Devin Taylor, okay. Devin Taylor's the backstage girl. The NXT ring announcer is, hold on, is it Cody? I can't remember her name. Yeah, she's an attractive lady.
I'm just assuming it's his wife because I know he married a black girl and this was a black girl.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I can't remember her name for the life of me. Shoot. Anyway. Eden? Eden? She's a Maxim girl. If you check out Real Eden, E-D-E-N, WWE, that's Cody's wife, and she is, yes, there's a picture of her right there. Yes, she's a very attractive young lady. Anyway, yes.
Randy Reed, that's his wife. That's what it says on Wikipedia.
Yeah, they must have changed their name for for NXT. Brandi Rhodes is her real name.
And she performs in WWE as Eden, so, okay.
There you go. Anyway, yeah, she's a Maxim girl, and Cody Dunn did good for himself.
Oh, very.
Yes, sir. So, we have the WWE Payback show coming up this Sunday. Everybody calls it a pay-per-view, and I guess technically you are paying to view it if you're paying your $9.99, but the next special show...
It's called pay-per-view. Time Warner is showing commercials for it. Pay-per-view. WWE Payback, Sunday. It's pay-per-view.
Well, it's not pay-per-view on my DirecTV, I'll tell you that right now.
Well.
So.
Yeah, well, that's just DirecTV and Dish. Cable, they actually still carry it, so it's still pay-per-view.
I got to ask if he's going to watch Slammiversary since Kevin Von Erich is going to be on there. And his son's a
wrestler. I don't think I'll watch it live, but I think I'll check it out because I know he's going to be on there, and Marshall and Ross are going to be wrestling on the show. And
if you don't watch it live, how are you going to check it out?
Oh, I know he's
going to
check it out. Yes.
And there's ways to check it out, for sure.
But he's not a victim of Tom.
And they can go under because
hopefully after... I've been trying to get Kevin on the show, but I've been having to go through his PR person, and I think I'm kind of on hold until after this show and then after another show he's doing. So it might be a few weeks, but hopefully I'll still be able to get that interview pretty soon.
As a guy who's had to deal with PR people to get an interview from people is the worst. PR people are the worst. Sorry.
Well, this lady, she's been nice. So I mean, I don't have any complaints. It's just it just hasn't been easy. You know what I mean? And then he lives in Hawaii.
Oh, I know.
The time thing just screwed up right there as it is. But hopefully we can be able to work it out sometime.
These wrestlers' podcasts are so great because they know everybody personally. They didn't get a good through shit like that.
Okay.
They just call them up on the phone and ask them to do the fucking show.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be nice.
I wonder if Dave's going to pick Bray Piper's challenge and appear on this show.
I bet you that does not happen.
Anybody watch Legends out with?
I haven't got a chance to yet.
It's pretty good. Shawn Michaels was on there, took him fishing.
Yeah, my son watches it religiously. I do not.
It's a known fact that your son has better taste in wrestling than you do, Craig.
Okay.
A question is critically acclaimed tagline they've given it. And a question that being in the top and always like number one or number two of the shows of the week. A question that too.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? Anyway, let's talk about this payback.
Maybe some of the more combustible elements in the next Legends house. I don't know, like fucking Ric Flair and Bret Hart or Kevin Nash or Guy Hall or somebody like that. Let's get some good shit going instead of the same people we see every year, all the time.
Yeah. Well, they say it's safe. They say it's safe because they were trying to sell it to, like, other networks. Now that it's strictly WWE, maybe you know, apparently Ric Flair is supposed to be on the next one. You know, hopefully they can throw in Cheeky Baby. And Cheeky Baby will always add a good dose of funness to any show he's a part of. And, you know, just guys like that, you know what I mean? Piper's already on it. But, you know, that'd be a fun. Like, get up.
There's so many of these people on there, and then you've turned the show into a WWE celebrity rehab. So.
Yeah.
I love it. Speaking of combustible elements. Speaking of combustible elements, I've been doing some side work at my mom's place. Of course, you guys know I'm unemployed right now. Well, would you do
that? What happened with that, by the way, if you don't mind me asking?
My
it was actually the first time I ever heard of it was just the other day on the Brian Avini show. You never mentioned that before.
Yeah, I never got a chance to. I was kind of keeping things hush-hush because I don't like bringing down the show. Talking about my problems, but anyway, my work just got slow. We lost a couple of huge accounts, one of them being Microsoft and another one being AIO, which is a new cell company that took their ball and went home. And I got done with my last Microsoft table two Tuesdays ago and was called into the office and was laid off. And they said, if you're still unemployed about the first of next year, come talk to us. Well, luckily,
I know what all this means that you're talking about. What exactly do you do?
I was building fixtures and cabinets for many different companies. You know, usually retail.
Mm-hmm.
Like you go into a store like a Fred Meyer or a Kroger, and you see the stuff that product is sitting on top of. Those are fixtures. At the time, I was working on conference tables for Microsoft, which is just up the road. But we lost the account, and so when we finished up the last couple of Microsoft conference tables, little did I know that we lost that account. The three of us that were working on those tables all got laid off, and so it was myself and five other people that day. Apparently, they let five more go this last week. So things are bad at that job. Luckily, I had kind of seen the writing on the wall, and I went and put some applications in and made some phone calls and called in some favors and so forth and so on. And I had an interview on Tuesday, and I'll be getting my second interview from this company next week. So there is
a
line of
horizon. After job, it didn't take you long to get another one. Get another one in just 2 days.
It was 3 weeks. So
3 weeks?
Hopefully.
I don't know why I remember that. I guess it's because I was listening to all this Brian Avini stuff, like religiously doing those compilations that I remember all this shit.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't mess around. I don't, you know, anyway. But I don't sit around either, so I've been doing some side work. And I was at my mom's. I was ripping out some cabinets and some countertops in her new place to help her with her shop. And I looked over at all of her stuff on the wall, like she had all of her canned goods and all that stuff. Next to the canned goods, there was a big bottle of Powerade. I just got done running the saw, and I had sawdust in my face and in my mouth, and I ran over there, and I grabbed that Powerade, and I cracked it open, and I took a big old pull off of it, only to realize that I was drinking kerosene.
Oh, God.
And I spit it all over the floor, and I was choking and gagging and, oh, my gosh. And so I went in and I drank some water and I called my mom. My mom and dad are actually in Ohio because they gave my dad 6 months to live with his cancer. And so they are actually in Ohio doing some experimental treatments on him right now. And they're doing some stem cell replacement therapy on him. So they're looking to knock it out that way. So I called my mom. I said, what in the world was in that bottle? She said, I'm so sorry, it's kerosene. So I don't think much of it. And then about 2 hours go by, and my stomach starts hurting, and I start feeling like I'm going to throw up. So now I'm sweating like crazy and feeling bad. And went ahead and called the Poison Control Center. And I said, here's what I did, and oh, my gosh. And she says, oh, don't worry about it. People swallow gas all the time, siphoning out of the gas tank.
Oh, wait, and how did she feel about drinking gas again? I mean, what was it in?
It was in my mom, for some reason, had some extra kerosene for the camping stove and put it into a Powerade bottle, like a Gatorade bottle.
Oh, jeez.
And I didn't know it. It's red color. Well, guess what color Powerade is? Some of it's red. So, No label, no
nothing. You normally pick up random Powerades that are not in the refrigerator?
Well, they were sitting next to all the canned goods because my mom and dad are in the process of moving into their place. As they're gone, so it's not like I can, hey, Ma, what's this Powerade? You know what I mean? And so I just grabbed it. Anyway.
Should have grabbed a lighter and been like Steamboat when he came back in 91 and spit the fire and was the dragon.
I was thinking it's a good thing I don't smoke because, anyway. So the lady at the poison control told me to eat some bread and to sit down for about 40 minutes. Okay, so I ate a couple pieces of bread and finally my stomach quit hurting, but man, am I gassy. No pun intended.
Isn't that what they tell people when they get drunk, eat bread?
I guess so.
I know, like, when you first pop open a keg and it's kind of foamy, you're supposed to, like, use bread to kind of, like, get the, it'll suck up all the fucking, what do you call it, the foam or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway. But I'm feeling much better now, thanks. So. Yeah, I tried to kill myself this afternoon.
Now you say you're doing side jobs. How come you haven't fixed Brian Alvarez's door? Or he just won't pay you extra for that.
His door?
Yeah, he was bitching about. I was listening to part of the Brian and Vinny show, and he's telling Granny how to close the door to come get him if it don't latch, and there's a problem with the door.
Oh, he hasn't said anything. I went over there last week and I fixed Whitney's chair and did some other stuff. I don't know why he didn't say anything about the door. I'd gladly fix it.
Charge for that stuff, Craig. See? And you need help. Now you can charge for that stuff.
No, getting paid in something other than food. No, I never charge Brian unless I'm working for him like all day or something.
You don't charge him because you know he won't pay you anything. It's like, why bother?
Actually, you know what? If you make an agreement with Brian, he'll keep up his end. He's pretty good about that, actually.
I imagine Brian calls you when there's a crooked picture on the wall or something.
Dude, I went and hung pictures for him, like, for 4 hours. I hung pictures in their house. And I told him.
And that's
what
he paid you a pizza, right?
That was a different time. But, yeah, there was a time I went over and hung these great big mirrors for him because he didn't know how to do it. And I told him, I said, if I drive all the way out there and I hang all these pictures and I do this, this, and this, I'm going to charge you X amount of dollars. Are you okay with that? Yeah, that's cool. Okay, well, I ain't going to complain then.
You know what I mean? I just think it's funny how a grown man can't hang a picture.
Well, he's kind of short, so, I mean, that's the hard thing, just hanging it up.
I think there might be a difference between can't hang a picture or don't want to hang a picture.
You might be onto something there. You might be onto something there. But, yeah, I fixed Witt's chair last week, and I adjusted some of his acoustic paneling that I put up for him. Gosh, been 3 years now, and stuff like that, but I didn't charge him for that. That, you know, it takes me 10 minutes. No big deal. Anyway, yeah, he's not handy at all.
He's not anything, dude. I mean, if it wasn't for fucking me and a whole bunch of other people, he'd be fucking lost at WrestleMania or if he is.
Oh, I know. I know. But hey, let's quit talking about him. Let's talk about this Payback show real quick. So we got WWE Payback. Comes this weekend on pay-per-view.
And the network.
Thank you. We got our kickoff show. It's the Mountain Dew Kickstart Your Night. That's a cheap plug for the Mountain Dew. Anyway, it's a hair versus mask match with Hornswoggle versus El Torito.
Fan's tail.
Yeah, without the tail. I don't get it.
I guess the cadaver didn't take.
Nah.
This will probably be the best match on the show, by the way.
Well, I would argue with you, but last time you were right, so. Anyway.
Well, they're awesome. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, they are little people, but they are two. You got one guy who actually probably pound for pound one of the best workers in the world. And then Hornswoggle, you know, as much as people hate him, he does know what he's doing. He knows how to get reactions from the fans. So it'll be a good one. It won't be as good as the fucking WLC. I'm sure of that. Right. In fact, I'm positive it'll never come close, but it'll still be entertaining, and I'm actually looking forward to this as much as I am maybe the Shield Evolution match. That's about it, honestly.
He's not one of the best workers in the world, Jesus.
He's pretty darn good, though.
I don't count midgets. Or can we call him that still? You're not allowed to call him.
I don't know.
More.
I don't know.
Why is not on the main show? I mean, here's his take. He sounds like a main show gimmick.
I don't know. What is on the main show, and it'll probably be the opener, we have the Intercontinental Championship. Bad News Barrett will wrestle Rob Van Dam.
Bad News Barrett wins.
Absolutely.
Hopefully.
He has to.
I hope he does the CM Punk Bad News. He's not here. Fuck off.
Where's Ed?
Huh?
Are you there, Ed?
Look at the switchboard. Is he
Edward?
He yep. dropped off, apparently.
We're still right, we'll carry on without him. The next match is the one I'm actually looking forward to the most. We have Sheamus versus Cesaro for the United States Championship.
Yeah, this should be a good match.
I imagine these guys are going to hit each other very hard.
I go with Cesaro won a non-title match. I figure Sheamus is getting his win back here, like they always do. So
that would make the most sense. Cesaro has been on a bit of a tear as of late, but they did just lose the title, so I don't know.
We have the Divas Champion, Paige. She is going to wrestle the ever... How would I say this? I was going to say nutty. She's growing increasingly nutty by the week, Alicia Fox.
She's actually pretty damn great. Last couple of weeks.
It's wildly entertaining, her colossal freakouts,
mm-hmm.
but I wish she wouldn't do it in the ring with Paige. It really upset me the way that Paige was made to look like, well, pretty foolish, actually.
Well, when she beat her?
Yeah.
Yeah, after the big deal, making the big deal, this is like her first match, like from NXT. She just showed up from NXT. And, you know, she wins the title in her first match. And they do the same shit, you know, just the random. At least this is her when she got beat. It's late or something, but it's way too early for her to be losing any matches. And I thought it was stupid.
What was even dumber, though, is they had Emma beat her last week, and then she freaked out. So she beat
her. Well, she was kind of so nutty that she could win and still freak out. I mean, it didn't matter.
Right.
You know?
And she beat Paige, but lost to Emma, and the end result was still the freak out. You could have flip-flopped that.
Yeah.
Or she could have freaked out and then, you know, lost by disqualification and then freaked out to Paige. There were just 100 ways you could have done it, but to beat Paige, I thought that was really dumb.
But yeah. I like when she almost got the guy's underwear up over his head. He gave him a wedgie.
What was really funny about that is, in hindsight, she went back to the guy, and like she came up to him and she caressed his head and she kissed him. She said, "I'm sorry," and then she freaked out again. I think the "I'm sorry" might have been.
Now, it was kind of strange because they haven't used her for anything for so long, so it's kind of coming out of the blue. It seems like. I mean, it's been like maybe 2-3 years since they've really done anything with her that I can remember. But
that's true.
But yeah, Ed's having phone issues. That's why he's not here anymore. He's
okay.
working on
well,
it.
We'll send,
Well, you pay the bill next time. So.
Man, they don't take weed down at the payment center. Anyway.
And this woman's match is probably going to pale in comparison to what we saw last night. So.
Are you kidding me?
We have the semi-main event. We have John Cena versus Bray Wyatt in a last man standing match.
Yeah, let's go through with the program.
They need to wrap it up.
I suggest Cena's going to win, I think.
That's probably fine.
Bray's the kind of guy, I think he can lose and it doesn't hurt him that much. He got such a good character. It'll overshadow it. So, this is last man standing. Not like you're doing a real job.
That's true.
Nobody counts it as a real job unless you pin or tap out or something like that. Maybe Jake Hill will interfere in this match. On Monday night when they did a little angle with Lawler. And JBL got involved.
That's
pretty cool. Even though I wouldn't have brought him back in the same show. But
right.
Just like,
when did Cena have that match, the last man standing match with Orton? Was that 2007? Or was it later than that?
I swear, but it seems like they should have added like 10 last man standing matches between them because they press on each other so much.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I remember I don't remember them having one, even though I'm sure they did. I remember Orton and I think Triple H having a couple.
Mm-hmm.
I remember where Orton got the belt by forfeit at the beginning of the show. Triple H won it and then lost it at the end of the show. Remember that a few years ago?
Vaguely, yeah.
Yeah, that's the last man standing match I remember. But that's where they probably had like 5 or 6 of them together. That I can't recall what's sticking out. I just remember I Quit match stuck out that they had.
Yes.
Yeah,
that was great as well. Hopefully they can bring it on this one. I don't see them bringing it. I don't see people being even interested in it, to be honest with you. But
I think we're seems like I don't know. For some, you're always thinking Cena's going to be back in the championship picture, which I don't know if he is or not. But I do think that would be a good deal. I mean, him against Daniel Bryan would be pretty good since they never had a rematch from last year. Maybe they do that at SummerSlam or something. Or maybe they could take Bray Wyatt and put him against Daniel Bryan since they got unresolved issues, you know, from earlier this year. So you never know. I don't know where they go after this.
I just got a message from Ed. He says, I can call back. And I said, okay, we got it. So we're going to wrap up early tonight.
Disappointing.
No, but the main event is the Shield versus Evolution, a no-holds-barred elimination match. I expect this to tear the house down.
Yeah. I always like elimination matches.
You get
a lot more wrestling. And, everything done with this feud has been really good. I don't know. It just seems weird to having a rematch after the babyfaces won the first match. I don't know. Maybe this would be Batista's last match for a while, I think. So
yeah,
I can see. It's kind of too obvious that Roman Reigns might be the survivor, so they may go a different way. So I don't know.
I would imagine that that's the way they're going to go. I would imagine it's probably going to be all three of them against Roman Reigns. And
I think it was the 2007 Survivor Series match with Shawn where he bled a gusher. He was bleeding a gusher, and then it was like all the team against him, and then he beat every one of them except Orton.
Was it the one where Austin got fired because they lost the match?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it was because it was like Yeah, yeah, with raises. Austin got fired because he lost the match.
Yeah.
And back 2 weeks later as the sheriff.
That's right. So, yeah.
Hey, this from that angle there. Yeah, there's match where you just get Shawn Michaels gets killed and he loses, and he's back 2 weeks later. No harm, no foul.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why people don't buy these stipulations anymore.
Yeah, really.
Anyway, so, yeah, that's the card for Payback. It should be a decent show, but I really can't see it doing any... I don't see it better than the show we watched last night.
Although,
to be honest.
They said in the update today that they're working on making it a better show because the show they don't want to be have done by the developmental show. So,
yeah.
I don't think it's possible as the... Like the level of three matches that they had. So, but I don't know. It should be a good show anyway. Isn't it? Rusev taking on Big E?
You know, he is, and that's not on the WWE website.
Hmm.
I got all those matches off the WWE website, and that one is not on here.
Is it just me or he's spinning an image of Taz, Rusev?
You know what? Yeah, he is. Yes.
They should bring Taz being his dad or something to manage him.
His really short father.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, darn it, if we're not out of stuff to talk about, we should wrap up the show early and get on with the weekend, huh?
Did you see the new X-Men movie?
Not yet. I did get out to see Godzilla last week, and it was a pretty fun movie, but I went to a Godzilla movie, and I left wanting to watch Godzilla more because I didn't see him much in the show. So,
yeah, this kind of felt like a sequel.
Yeah, right?
Like,
yeah.
I wish it would have been the story of Godzilla, like his story instead of get rid of the other two monsters, you know, just focus on him. And
right.
It just felt like, this is like Godzilla versus Monster Zero or King Ghidorah or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
But, I enjoyed it. And they're already doing a sequel, so this would have been like a perfect, second movie.
Right.
So, but
yeah,
anyway, I enjoyed it. Godzilla looked normal.
Mm-hmm. I am going to probably get out and see X-Men sometime this weekend, so looking forward to that one.
The big summer movies are coming out. I'm trying to think what other big movies they got coming out.
I don't know, but if you haven't seen Captain America 2, quit listening to this show and go now. Because I've already seen it twice. I love that movie.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's so good.
Hmm.
So good.
They just put up I was thinking about checking out RoboCop. They just put it up on Xbox Live.
Hmm.
So I was not going to check that out.
Actually, you know what? You shouldn't watch that. Just go download the new Lego movie because that's a tremendous movie. And watch that.
The new what movie?
Lego.
Oh, the Lego movie?
The Lego movie is awesome. I'm telling you right now, I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you've never picked up a Lego in your life. That movie rules.
I got one of my favorite games I got on my Xbox 360. You got the Lego Star Wars saga. It goes back to all films. That game is awesome.
Yep.
That is fun.
Yep.
And I got that, and I got Lego Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm. And
my
Hobbit.
Oh, I don't have the Hobbit.
Yeah.
I got my nephew has like Lego Batman and stuff like that. So those games are fun.
Yeah. So yeah, go watch the Lego movie. It's on Apple TV, on iTunes right now, and I think some of the other pre DVD release places have it as well. Check it out. Well, hey, Couture, why don't we play the music and get the heck out of here?
Why don't we not play the music and send it cold?
Hey, what?
So let's not play the music and just send it cold with nothing.
Okay.
We ain't got time for music. We ain't got time to do the show no more anyway. So.
Yeah,
we'll
just hang up. Pardon?
You got any plugs?
Oh yeah, plugs.
Check out angrymarks.com. Go there for all the latest wrestling news. Check out, might as well check me out on Tuesdays on the Brian and Vinny show. And you can follow me on Twitter at properjam, P-R-O-P-E-R, my last name and the word jam. And you'll be following Brian's friend Craig. I'm almost ready to pass Ed in number of subscribers. I was stuck on 420 for a while, and I was, thinking Ed would sabotage me.
I have four. I don't know, man. I got my mom's Couture 35, but I don't tweet. I don't know why I have it. It's just, I don't know, I just signed up for it. It's free. I don't care.
That's funny. That's funny.
I can't get used to everybody's talking about everybody, and they got these weird names. And just put their real names on there or something like that. I don't, and just make it a link to their, to like their Twitter handle or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. At 45-64 says,
It takes a while to
get it. Yeah, everybody can, you can follow me. I probably won't tweet nothing, but hey, you can help me add to my followers. You can go to youtube.com/Couture. There's a bunch of old stuff up there. I've been to my YouTube channel in a while because since the network, I just hadn't really needed to. What are you going to be reviewing on Brian and Vinny? Anything coming up from the network?
I saw that one of the old Raws, the main event was The Rock versus Lance Storm, and I thought that would be a good one to review. I think we're going to do that.
That sounds good. One of y'all should review just for like historical purposes. Y'all should review that first Clash.
Yeah, I've been trying to find stuff. Everybody wants us to review, like, the pay-per-views, which is fine, but those are three-hour shows. And we're already reviewing, two other shows, and that would... So I'm trying to find some happy medium where we're, doing some old-school wrestling, but it's, it doesn't take that long to review because, man, that makes for a long podcast, and that makes for me getting to bed really late, so...
it was close to doing it, like an hour and 45 minutes. Because we love commercials and stuff. So. I'd like to hear y'all to review that first one because it's a pretty notable show. So, and it's a good show. So it's something fun.
Cool. I will remember
when wrestling was exciting.
Yeah.
We can't really say that last night, but still,
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Okay. We're done.
Okay.
So we'll be back next week. We don't know what we're going to be doing.
Who knows?
Hey, I had floated out the idea of doing going through the match listing of that Greatest Factions DVD and talking about some factions. I think would be fun. So anyway, for Craig and Oya's not here, so.
Yeah.
I shouldn't listen to the show for Ed anyway. He's not something wrong with him. I'm Couture, and we'll talk to everybody after a while or something.
Okay. Good night.